sermon on Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14 is the 8th in our Three Tree series and was recorded at our Ravenna gathering on the 16th of June. It's titled Jesus, Death of the King. For more information on Salt Church, visit us online at www.salt.church.
This morning I want to start by asking a couple of questions. Now, although the answer is quite simple, in fact, it should be instinctive, they're not really very nice questions to ask. Actually, they're rather unpleasant questions to think about. But I'm going to ask you them anyway because they're two very important questions, and maybe no one's ever asked you these questions before. Are you ready? Here's my first question. Under what circumstances would you willingly give your child away? Now, before you misunderstand my question as some kind of offer for me to do some babysitting or some sort of respite for you, I'm not talking about leaving your kids for a couple of hours or even leaving them for a week at grandma's house. I'm talking about you willingly giving them away. Think about it for a moment. Are there any circumstances where you might think that you would do this, where you would willingly give away your child? The second question I've got for you is this. Under what circumstances would you willingly give your child away to killers? Well, there's none, is there? There is no circumstances where you would ever do that. Under no circumstance would a loving parent do such a thing. Who'd do such a thing like that? You'd do anything to protect your children, wouldn't you? I told you they weren't pleasant questions to think about, but listen to me very carefully now. If God is the perfect Father and He gave His only Son away to killers who killed Him, then there's got to be a very good reason for it. There'd have to be a very good reason for Him to have done that, don't you think? There'd have to be a very good reason for it. Something of great and considerable importance, significant enough for God to have taken this course of action, don't you think so? So important that we might have even overlooked it. Why would the Father give away His only Son? Why would God give His Son away to killers? Under what circumstances might the Father allow this to happen? Maybe it's time we had another look at it together. Well, that's what this morning's talk is all about. See it with me, Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. Hopefully you've got your Bible there. It's on the words on the screen here behind me. Christ redeemed us, that's in verse 13, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that by faith we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Father gave up His Son so that by faith in Jesus we might be called the children of God. Father gave up His Son so that by faith in Jesus we might become the children of God. In case you're just joining us this morning, we're continuing our Bible Talk series called Three Trees. We're covering the whole story of the Bible because the whole of the Bible is telling us one story from start to finish. From Genesis to Revelation, it's telling us one story, the true story about God's people living in God's place under God's rule, about a faithful God who keeps His promises to an unfaithful people. Because you see, friends, given half the chance, the whole human race would do away with its creator. And that's what we've seen so far in the story of the Bible. Although this is God's world and He made it, God made us to rule the world under Him, at the very first available opportunity afforded to us, humanity attempted a coup, a hostile takeover. In the Garden of Eden, humankind ignored God's word. Instead, we did as we pleased. Way back in the beginning, eating from the forbidden tree was only the beginning of our rebellion, though. Despite God's promises to Abraham of land and offspring and blessing, and God's promises to David, his son, that his son would reign forever as king, Solomon, the son of David, ignored God's word as well. Solomon embraced all that was off limits to him. Gold and women and horses, Solomon collected them all. And so now Jerusalem is in ruins. The temple is destroyed. And God's people are exiles in a strange land, all because of sin, all because of our constant rebellion against the Creator, all because we can't do what God says. We've never been able to do what He says. And as the Old Testament closes, we find God's people back in the land, but they're living under a king that's not their own. Last week, if you were here with us at Salt Church, it was Christmas. We saw God still keeping His promises. The child born of the Virgin is Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus, God returns to dwell with His people. The name of the child gives away the entire operation. Jesus, because He saves His people from their sin. Son of David, born in the town of David. Jesus, the promised King that we've all been waiting for, is now the King who was assassinated by crucifixion. God gives away His Son to killers. The Father gives His only Son away to killers who kill Him. Just as things were finally getting back on track, with God's promises looking like they were going to finally be fulfilled, God's people in God's place, under God's rule, the Father gives His Son away to killers who kill Him. There must be a good reason for it, don't you think? Some kind of explanation for this course of divine action. Well, this passage provides that explanation for us. Galatians 3, 1-14 tells us why God did this. Because given half the chance, we could never do what God says. Given half the chance, we'd do away with our Creator. But God gives us all another chance to receive His promises. God gives His Son away to killers in order to redeem us, to buy us back from our slavery to sin, so that we might receive the promise of being His children, so that we might receive the promise of God with us. I want you to see these things for yourself in the passage if you've got your Bible there. Given half the chance, we could never do what God says, and certainly God's given us more than a few chances. See this idea with me. Chapter 3, Galatians 3, verse 10. I think the words are on the screen here. No? Galatians 3, verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Cursed means being under the judgment of God. It's the complete opposite of being in God's favour, which is where all of us like to think that we are. We all like to think that we're under God's favour, all of us enjoying God's blessings. But all of us were under God's curse. All of us under God's judgment. And that's a bit shocking too, isn't it? We're all under God's curse because we can't do what God says. God's given His people more than half a chance. He's given all of us several chances. If you're someone who works on a three-strike policy, you know, three strikes and you're out, we've all been given more than three strikes. We've all had more than three strikes. And on more than one occasion, we've seen God's people kicked out. Kicked out of Eden, kicked out into exile, kicked out for their bad behaviour. Of course, the words, the book of the law mentioned there in verse 10, can you see them? The book of the law is more than just the Ten Commandments. They are all of God's Old Testament laws, all 613 of them. But even when there was just one command, do you remember? Only one thing we were told not to do in Eden, we still went and did it anyway. We didn't do what God told us to do. We did what God told us not to do. Nobody's been able to keep the law. No one's been able to do what God says. No one has continually got it right. But that's the expectation, isn't it, of a word like abide. Even though we try to do what God says, we don't get it right every time. That's why we're all under God's judgment. That's why all of us are under God's curse. So you can't rely on keeping the law. You can't depend on your own obedience. what you do won't make you right with God. Look there at verse 11. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. So you can't rely on doing what the law says. We're far too unreliable for any of that. And you can't reassure yourself that you'll be okay here. We're far too self-flattering to be of any objective reality. But it's not that there's something wrong with the law, friends. It's there's something wrong with us. Let me give you a couple of examples. The sign says wet paint. Don't touch. But what's the first thing that you want to do? You want to touch it and see if it's dry. The sign says 60 kilometres an hour. How fast were you going when the policeman pulled you over? 83 kilometres. We all know the law about mobile phones while driving, don't we? 33% of Australians have admitted to flouting these laws, which means there's even a higher proportion of liars in this country. There's a story about an Anglican bishop who once caught the train in Sydney into the city. He was dressed in all of his clerical attire and he sat down in the passenger carriage where he noticed a sign above his head that said, "No spitting." Up until that point, said the bishop, he had no desire to ever do such a thing. But all of a sudden he felt the saliva welling up in the back of his throat. It's funny because it's true. And your laughter is recognition of your very own guilt. You might consider all these things minor infringements, but God doesn't see things our way. What about things like don't covet? But you say, gee, that'd look much better at my place. What about don't steal, even though work has heaps of these things and no one would notice if they went missing? What about don't give false testimony when you're asked to give a character reference for somebody else? What about don't murder when Jesus said murder is the equivalent of hating someone in your heart? What about no other gods before me when everything else gets prioritised over church, over reading the Bible, over meeting with God's people, over praying? What about no other gods before me when we spend our money on ourselves and loving ourselves rather than God and others? God said in the garden, "Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." But that's exactly what we did, isn't it? Listen to me carefully now. We've all had more than one chance to get this right. Look at verse 10. "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." You see, friends, we're all like this. Every single one of us. Hardwired to go haywire. Internally programmed to eternally do the wrong thing. It's not a design flaw, it's a character fault. Because given half the chance, the entire human race would do away with its creator. And you know what? That's exactly what we did. Look there at verse 1. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." Jesus came into the world and we crucified him. God the Creator handed his son over to killers and they killed him. God turned up, so we bailed him up and then we nailed him up. Christ or Messiah means king. Jesus is the promised king, but he was crucified. Because we don't want God to rule over us. We don't like being told what to do. We want to choose for ourselves. Determine our own right from wrong. We want to spit out the train window. We want to drive faster than the speed limit. We want to see if the paint's dry yet. And so Peter denies him. And Judas betrays him. And the people of God hand him over to the Gentiles, where they mock him, and they spit on him, and they flog him, and they kill him, God willingly giving up his son to killers. And they dressed him up in a robe, and they placed a crown of thorns on his head, and they mockingly bowed down before him, and they called him their king. Because that's exactly who he is, you know. God, the Creator, come as king. The sign that was written above his head in three different languages announces clearly to everyone there, and now announced clearly to everyone here who can read, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Christ crucified before our very eyes. Hostile takeover in Eden, the sustained rebellion of the people of God outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem, attempting to do away with their Creator again. God came to that which was his own, but he wasn't welcomed among his own. God came to dwell with his people, but he was crucified by them instead. Put to death, friends, in the very place where God promised to dwell with them. Given half the chance, we do away with our Creator. And that's exactly what we see at the cross. Humanity doing away with its Creator. Christ publicly portrayed as crucified before our very eyes. Instead of eating of the tree that gives life, we're now confronted here in this passage by the tree of death. Decision to disobey God's command and eat instead of the forbidden tree in Eden means that we determine good and evil. In an attempt to pursue good for ourselves, we determine to put the good Creator away. We determine to do away with his good order and chose to do evil instead. We determine to do what pleases ourselves rather than what pleases God. Instead of serving the Creator, we live to serve ourselves as if we were God. A life lived in divine rebellion leads to death. But the cross confronts us in our rebellion. Given half the chance, we do away with our Creator. And that's exactly what we were doing at the cross. We thought we were doing away with God, but God was doing away with something else. God willingly gave away his son over to killers who killed him so that God might offer us one more chance. See that with me, chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. At the cross, God is keeping his promises. Faithful God who keeps his promises to an unfaithful people. We thought we were doing away with God, but God was doing away with our sin. We thought we were doing away with God's restrictions, but God was doing away with our slavery. He redeemed us from the curse so that we might receive his blessings. Don't you see? Blessing in exchange for curse. Christ's death in exchange for our death. Righteousness in exchange for rebellion. There on the cursed tree of Calvary, Jesus redeems us from the curse of sin. The whole story of the Bible is about three trees. We ate the fruit of the forbidden tree, so we're cursed because we rebelled against God. But the tree that was cursed for us is now our way back to the tree of life. Christ was crucified and cursed for us, cursed so that we might be blessed by him, cursed so that we might receive his blessings. Can you see that in verse 14? So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. God gives away his son so that we might become his children. God gives his son away to killers who kill him so that we might receive his promised blessing. Jesus saves his people from their sins, cursed so we might be blessed. The law that once excluded us and stood as a curse over us, now gives way to the promises which include us. By faith in Jesus, we receive the promises of God. Promises that God made to Abraham are now yours by faith in Christ crucified. You see, God adopts us as his children, and now we share in all of his promised inheritance, promises he made all the way back in the beginning. God promising to dwell with us. God with us. Don't you see the cross is another chance for you? Instead of receiving punishment, Jesus pays our penalty. Christ crucified is another chance for us to receive God's promised blessings. God's giving you another chance. He's offering you his blessing instead of curse. Jesus, the Saviour who died for our sins, Jesus, the King, we surrender our lives to, doing what pleases him rather than what pleases ourselves. The cross is another chance from God, friends. But friends, this is your final chance. This is your very last offer. God's not making any more offers. This is the very last one he makes. Jesus cursed so that we might be blessed. Faith in Jesus so that we might become the promised children of God. Don't be foolish. Christ publicly betrayed as crucified. God's not making any more offers. He gave us everything when he gave up his son for us. Last January, I attended a funeral in Cairns. It was for a man that I used to work for. His family were so pleased that I'd come up for the funeral. It was like I was part of their family too. They asked me to sit with them during the service, which I wasn't expecting, up the front. They asked me to say a few words about him, which I wasn't expecting either. And then they asked me to walk with them as the coffin left out the church door to the hearse. Then they invited me to come and be a part of the private family burial. And afterwards, they invited me to come and eat with them as well. I thought I was going to a funeral in Cairns for a former employee. What I went to was a family funeral. See, I'd been adopted into their family, loved and welcomed and accepted and treated like a son. And that's how God treats us in the death of his son. He welcomes us into his family and showers us with all of his blessings. God gave his son over to killers who killed him so that we might accept his offer of blessing in exchange for all of our sins cursed. Will you pray with me? Now, Father, when we think about the cross of the Lord Jesus, we are confronted with death, pain, judgment, and agony, and sadness. And yet through that same cross comes joy and hope and blessing, forgiveness, and new life. We pray this morning, our Father, for those who are here amongst us that need another chance. We ask, our Father, that you would help them to see Jesus portrayed as crucified, a loving and welcoming Father who invites people to come and be his children, to come and receive his promises, even though we don't deserve it. Of course we don't deserve it. We've all sinned. We're all like this. We all need your help. Lord Jesus, we gather together this morning as a people who acknowledge and express collectively our failure to live the way you've wanted us to. That we continually get it wrong. But you are a merciful God who gave up his only son
so that we might be showered with all of your blessings, so that we might be your children, adopted into your family. Thank you that you gave Jesus so that we might become your sons as well. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.